So triumph over trouble. In tonight's study, we learn how that King David's prescription that he gives to us, how to triumph in times of trouble. Curtis was singing that song a few moments ago, Victory in Jesus. If you've ever looked at some of the hymns before and many of the songs that we sing out of the hymn book, many songs have been written because of some experience that someone had in life. In fact, we all know the story of It Is Well With My Soul. And once you know the story behind that, every time you sing it, the song means far more to you than it ever did before you ever heard the song. Of course, Spafford that wrote that song, H.G. Spafford, it was during the years of the great Chicago fire that broke out. He had a business there. So most of the city was burned. Spafford's wife, and he put his wife and his four little girls on a ship to Europe. And it was on that ship that ship sank. His wife held on to those four little girls as long as she could, and one by one, each one of them drowned. Spafford, when he was going across to Europe to meet with his wife, she sent back a telegram that said, saved alone. When Spafford was in that area of the ocean, they pointed out the proximity of where that ship went down. Spafford went and he wrote that song, When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way, When Sorrows Like Sea Billows Row, Whatever My Lot, You Have Taught Me to Know, it is well with my soul. I never hear the song that I don't get chills because I know why it was written, the message behind the song. Let me give you the message behind Psalm chapter 46. It was the year 701 years before Christ ever came to the earth. There was a king of a nation called Assyria. This king's name was Sennacherib. He was, the Assyrians were a ruthless group of people. They were mighty. They were known in the world. They were a very wicked people. In fact, God would use the Assyrians to come against his own people, the nation of Israel. Let me just sort of give you a little bit of background. King Saul was the first king of the nation of Israel. And then King David replaced him. And after David was replaced, his son Solomon was the king. When Solomon died, the kingdom split. There was issues that arose. There was heavy taxation upon the people. The people tried to get the king to unlevy this heavy taxation. He would not do it. And so the 12 tribes of Israel, those the sons of Jacob, those tribes, they divided. 10 of those tribes were called the northern tribes of Israel. The other two tribes were Manasseh and Ephraim. They were called the southern tribes of Judah. They were all the 12 tribes of Israel. But because of the division after Solomon's death, they divided and 10 tribes went to the north and 2 tribes went to the south. And so the 10 tribes, they drifted off into all kinds of immorality, idolatry, disobedience to Almighty God. And God would send the Assyrian nation into their lives. God will use whatever means that he chooses to use for whatever purpose he chooses to use it to bring his people back to him. And so the Assyrians, who were wicked and who were ruthless, and they took the 10 northern nations into captivity for the rest of their days. Unfortunately, the two tribes, the southern tribes, did not learn from their brother tribes. They would later be taken into captivity by the Babylonians to be held for 70 years. But I say that to say this. There was a king by the name of Sennacherib who was the king over the Assyrian nation. He was victorious in leading armies throughout Mesopotamia, and he was going to come against, he had already taken the northern tribes. Next on his itinerary would be the southern tribes of Judah. And so Hezekiah happened to be, at that time, over the nation of Judah. King Hezekiah was a good king. He was someone who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Hezekiah knew that the Syrians were coming. And so Jerusalem was the capital of Judah. And so the walls around the city was there to help bring protection to the people. The Assyrians camped out around the walls of Jerusalem. They taunted Hezekiah and the nations there of Judah. In fact, they hollered out and let them know that Hezekiah will not be able to protect you. Your God will not be able to protect you. And so one of the things that nations would do back in those days, it wasn't so much of them getting through the walls as it was to wait the people out to where they ran out of food and water. But Hezekiah had been a smart king. He had taken the water system around the city of Jerusalem on the outskirts of the walls, and he brought that water system in that flowed from the Gihon Springs there from I believe it was some 1,777 feet that he had that brought in under the walls of the city and into the city itself, where they would have plenty of water. So they had plenty of food, they had plenty of water. Unbeknownst to the king of Assyria, he didn't know that, because Hezekiah had that well hidden with dirt and all kinds of debris, grass, etc., over that. And so as far as food and water, they were fine. Well, Hezekiah needed some encouragement, so God sent a guy by the name of Isaiah. Anybody ever heard of Isaiah? There's a book in the Bible for him. Also, Micah was another one of the prophets during the days of Hezekiah. But God sent to Hezekiah, he sent Isaiah to let him know that God was going to take care of this wicked king who was on the outside of the city gates. In fact, according to the book of 2 Kings, Sennacherib would fall by his own sword in battle and would be killed. And what did Hezekiah do? He was so encouraged by that, but a few days later, this wicked king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he wrote a letter to Hezekiah telling him that, you know, basically, buddy, I've got your number and I'm coming for you. Hezekiah went immediately to the temple, and he spread out that letter on the altar and basically said, God, here is what's going to happen, but we're trusting in you. And so the Bible says that on that particular night, the angel of the Lord came and killed 185,000 Assyrians that night. You can only imagine, as those people looked over the walls of that city the next day and they looked around, 185,000 men in an army laying out there dead. And so because of the context of that story, that's where Psalm 46 comes into play. It's a celebration. It's a psalm of commemoration to remember what God had promised and what God would do. And so tonight on your outline, Roman numeral number 1, let's look at what do you do when trouble comes. This psalm would say retreat to your refuge. Let me ask you a question. Do any of you have a refuge? Do you have a place that you feel safe? Do you have a place that you feel comfortable? You know, God is our what? Refuge and strength. A mighty fortress is our God. A refuge is a place that's quiet. It's a place that is safe, where you feel very, very safe. I had an experience out of town yesterday. It was quite an experience. I thought I was going to have to call security, the police. I'd walked out of a hospital. I had valet parked my car. And there was a gentleman standing next to me. He had a wristband on. I assumed he was being released from the hospital. I assumed he was waiting on a ride. They were rather slow with valet. There were not enough people there. So what would a good preacher do but walk out there under the portico and hand your ticket to the valet guy to go get your car? This man was livid. He was angry. He was mean-spirited. He was bitter. He cursed me. I won't tell you what he said, but you can only imagine. He told me if I didn't get away from him, he was going to knock my head off. I tried twice to apologize that it was not my intent to be ahead of him. I didn't know why he was even there. And the more I tried to apologize, the worse the situation got. So a lady walks out. She was appalled. You could tell she didn't know what to do. She was trying to engage me in conversation about the storm in Oklahoma City. I turned to smile at her. He took that wrong. You smile at me one more time, I'm going to da-da-da-da-da your head. Well, I wanted to lay my Bible down and get in the flesh and read him the right act. I think I could have taken it. I wasn't worried about that. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminded me of my sermon this coming Sunday. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I want you to know the valet guy couldn't get my car there quick enough. I left part of my souls there at that hospital trying to get in my car. And then I began to pray for the man. God, if he is a Christian, he's so far out of your will. Please, Holy Spirit, bring conviction on him. If he's not saved, move in his heart, because he's a mean-spirited guy. And I sure felt sorry for his wife. You could tell she was major embarrassed. And I thought to myself, if you would treat a rank stranger, what do you do to her? Let me tell you, folks, I was so taken aback by that. I'm sure shock and awe registered on my face. I had to quickly disconnect from a bad situation and reconnect to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he's in your hands. You are the God of justice. You are the God of vengeance. I thought about tonight's lesson. Hezekiah had somebody that was out to get him. And God says, don't worry about it. I've got it. I've got it in my hands. 185,000 Assyrians lie outside the city walls of the city of Jerusalem. I thought about the Sunday morning sermon. Vengeance versus justice. We all want justice. God says vengeance doesn't belong to you. Justice belongs to me. And so I guess I was already being tested for Sunday morning. So I'm going to gleefully give you the sermon Sunday morning, and it can fall on your feet. It's already fell on mine. Well, let's pick it up there. What do you do when trouble comes? You retreat to your refuge. Mine was in a car, and I made a quick getaway yesterday. I want you to know. And then all of the lights practically were out in Oklahoma City, and three or four cars deep at every corner, stop signs. Nobody knew when to go. People were coming into the middle, honking at each other. And I thought, Lord God, get me out of here. And have you ever had one of those days? Boy, this was my week. What do you do when trouble comes? Notice in verse 1a, it's an awesome refuge. God is our refuge. He's our quiet place. God is our strength. From Him comes strength and strength alone. Have you ever noticed when you begin to pray, when I begin to pray, Holy Spirit, I don't know if this is a mental case standing next to me. I don't know what it is, but I know this guy's mean. He's ugly. He's bitter. He's angry at the world. But when I begin to pray, my blood pressure begins to drop. And I begin to feel peaceful and say, God, You've got this. I don't have to deal with it. Where do you go? Where do you go in times like these? Well, you retreat to your refuge. Hezekiah, no doubt, in the midst of laying out his letter before the altar, he prayed, and I can only imagine God has this situation. Your situation may not be like Hezekiah's, it may not be like mine was yesterday, but whatever it is, you may be facing a mountain out there with a health issue. You may be facing a mountain out there with some other kind of issue that's going on in your life, financially, emotionally, spiritually, hysterically. You know, there are a lot of people that are hysterical in the world that we live in, not knowing where they're going or how to get to where they need to go. The psalmist said, God is our refuge. In other words, don't forget that. He is that quiet place. He is your protection. He is your strength. He said, notice the next verse, a very present help in time of trouble. A very present help in time of trouble. When you're in trouble, remember that. He's your present help. I thought, you know, this is exactly how people get killed. Somebody's angry. And I had just read in the paper yesterday where 45 people got into a brawl over a towel at a swimming pool. So, you know, God in us, Emmanuel, God with us. He is a very present help in trouble. Then notice He's an awesome refuge. Your outline says on B, number one, He's an accessible refuge. Therefore, He's a very present help in time of trouble. Aren't you glad you can call on Him anytime? You can call on Him 24 hours, 24/7. He's never busy. He's always on the line, as the old song says. He's an accessible refuge. So, therefore, because He is our refuge, He's our quiet place, He's our protector, He's our strength, He's this present help in trouble, therefore what? We will not fear. Can you imagine what those tribes of Judah were saying with Hezekiah the king? We're not going to fear. Why? God's already got the situation well in hand. God already knew there'd be 185,000 outside the walls of Jerusalem ready to come down and overtake little old Judah into their hands. But good King Hezekiah did that, the Bible says, which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so God was there. Therefore, we will not fear. Notice what he says here in this refuge in verse 2 and 3. This is an ageless refuge. We will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then that little word, Selah, there at the end of these Psalms, that little word means, what do you think about that? Or it means, think on this. And so, thinking about God being your refuge, God being your strength, God being a present help in time of trouble. And even though the world falls apart, breaks apart, even though it is carried into the midst of the sea, even though the waters roar and are troubled, even though the mountains shake with swelling, the psalmist said, think about that. What do you think about that? God is in control. God is in the heavens. God is not surprised by your yesterdays. God is not alarmed about your tomorrows. God is on call in your present situation. And so they were celebrating, saying, why should we fear? If you can only imagine the victory. There was no way in the world that Hezekiah could come against the nation of Assyria, but he knew the one who could. And he knew he was the one that was in charge. Then we go to Roman numeral number 2 tonight. When trouble comes, not only do you retreat to your refuge, but you rediscover your strengths. Notice in verse 4, you have a secret power within. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. That holy place in the temple, it would be there Hezekiah would spread out that letter. Let me ask you a question. Bring it down to where you are today. Let's say you had a bad situation. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe somebody's upset in your class. Maybe you receive an email through the mail about a particular situation that comes up. Maybe there's something going on at the workplace. You're concerned about it. There's something happening in your family. You're troubled about this situation. Notice in verse 4, this holy place. Let me tell you, do you take that problem to the Lord and spread it out? Do you spread it out to Him and say, God, here's this situation. It's bigger than I am. It's far beyond what I can figure out. It's far beyond what I can do about this. But because You are the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God, because You are the omniscient God, the all-knowing God, because You are the omnipresent God, You're everywhere. Here's my situation. I'm bringing it to the altar. I'm spreading it to You. I'm giving it over into Your hand. The problem is, most of us, if we're honest, we take our burden to the Lord and then we pick it up and carry it back out whenever we leave. Have you ever done that? We sing, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. But the problem is we don't leave it there. We just carry it with us. And so we're saddled everywhere we go. We pray about it, but we never unload that problem or that baggage. I want to encourage you, when you got a situation, do what Hezekiah did. Take it to the Lord. Spread it out before Him. Lord, this is an impossible situation for me to take care of. Lord, this is impossible. It doesn't matter what I say. It's not going to fix this situation. So, Holy Spirit of God, work this out according to Your purposes, according to Your plan. And God, You take this and let me be at peace with whatever the outcome is. Notice in verse 5, we see not only do you have a secret power within. Who is that power? Christ in us, God in us, the Holy Spirit in us. Notice you also have a secret person within. You not only have the power of God, verse 5 through 7, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. Can you only imagine as they looked out over the walls and saw the slain dead there? The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. Notice why they're rejoicing, that God is the God over all. He is the God in control. And then verse 7, the Lord of hosts, notice that, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. In other words, what do you think about that? Think on that. God, the creator of the galaxies and the universe and this earth, and you and I could never even begin to fathom. What we could understand would strictly be a teardrop in the oceans of life to the knowledge that God has. And the psalmist said, now what do you think about that? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then notice thirdly on your outline, when trouble comes, not only retreat to your refuge, rediscover your strength, but redirect your thoughts. Boy, did I have to do that yesterday. My flesh wanted to be as mean and as bitter as he was. Because I had a precious mother, and when you call her a, you know what, it was all I could do. It was all I could do to hold my tongue. What do? You redirect your thoughts. And I sat there and I prayed, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes to get his attention, that's in your hands. You redirect your thoughts. Notice, it would be easy to get in the flesh, to do something, say something, but you redirect your thoughts. Now, we live in a world that says don't turn to the Holy Spirit to do that. Just you take care of the situation. Isn't that where we are today? Isn't that where we live today? Isn't that why there's so much vitriol in the world and so much anger that's spewed out of people's mouths? And you know, that's the world that we live in. And what do we do as a Christian? Notice what they did here. They went back and reviewed the works of the Lord in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. And so Hezekiah and the nation of Judah, they begin to review the works of God. Let me ask you, when you're in trouble, when you're in a situation, do you go to your refuge? Do you begin to say, God, according to the Bible, you sit in the heavens, and the Bible says you laugh. The Bible says that you've got an out-of-control world under your control. And so you begin to review the works. God, remember, this is what you have done for us. This is what you've done here. Let me tell you, if you're trying to live as godly of a life as you know how, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. There are going to be issues. In fact, if you don't have one, you might want to check in with God to see if you're one of his. You know? Because whenever troubles come, let me tell you, you know, who do you go to? Where do I go when there's no one else to go to? Who do I turn to when there's no one there to listen? Well, notice what they did. They began to review the works of the Lord. And then in verse 10 and 11, they began to not only review the things that God had done for them, but they began to reclaim the words of the Lord. Be still. Be still. Boy, it's hard to be still in a busy world. It's hard to be still in a world where people are running and going and no one wants to take their turn anywhere. But we're honking. I mean, if somebody's in front of us at a light and they don't immediately go before the light even changed, we're honking at them. Hello, don't look so righteous. Please don't look so pious. You know, the preacher's sure in righteous and pious. You know, what do we want to do? We want to bear down on that horn, you know. Or somebody drives past you and they show you how old they are. Well, be still. The Bible says, be still. Be still and know that I am God, creator, maker of heaven and earth, who created us in his likeness, in his image. Be still and know that I am God. And then notice what they said here. I will be exalted among the nations. Let me tell you, the Bible says one of these days, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The problem is, it'll be too late for many of them. They waited too long. I will be exalted, God says, above the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then notice how the psalmist ended this. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our what? Refuge, our quiet place, our resting place. And then the word Selah once again. What do you think of that? Or think on this. That's what that little word means. What do you think about this? So you can understand tonight, the context from this psalm is because the nation of Judah was about to be attacked by a wicked, ruthless, powerful Assyrian nation that wanted to absolutely destroy them. And how Hezekiah stood in the refuge of Almighty God. Isaiah encouraged him. And then all of a sudden, two or three days later, in the midst of encouragement, the letter came that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, we're out here by the gates and we're coming for you. And Hezekiah takes the letter. He goes into the temple. He spreads it on the altar and he gets serious with his prayer. And he gives it to the Lord, and the Lord won the battle, and Judah never lifted a finger. And those Assyrians died that night. And the Bible says, and I think this is interesting, if you go back and read the story in the Old Testament, the Bible says, and there were all the corpses all dead. Well, I always thought a corpse was dead. I love the way that says that. And there lay all the corpses, all dead. And so God is a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you stand?